Venezuela has the largest proven oil reserves on Earth. Yet we read of its citizens eating zoo animals and using animal drugs to treat themselves and their families. And so today we pause to ask, why did Venezuela run out of money to buy food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,122nd edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends up there in St. Petersport who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Jason, how you doing?
My pleasure to be here.
Battling those phones, right?
Indeed.
Okay, also we have Kelsey McCann, who's with us today. She's working the phones, too. And as you'll see, we're trying to reach through those phones to Venezuela. Also with us, we have Ms. Sarah Bell Lynn, who's our producer today. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning.
Good to have you. Folks, in terms of proven oil reserves, Venezuela is the wealthiest nation in the world. More oil than Saudi Arabia. Yet news accounts abound of a Venezuela in the grips of an epidemic of hunger. We hear stories of the hungry eating zoo animals and of the sick using the animal drugs of animals to treat themselves and their families. Are conditions in Venezuela as bad as we are being told? It's hard to believe they could be that bad. If conditions are that bad, why did Venezuela run out of money to buy food? And finally, can what happened to Venezuela happen to the USA? Those are the questions we have on the table today. We're trying to reach through those phone lines to an eyewitness in Venezuela. He is Francisco Valencia, and he's the president of Codavida.
Codavida. I believe so.
Now, Sarah Bell, who exactly is or what exactly is Codavida?
So Codavida is a humanitarian organization that focuses on Venezuelan rights and food access.
So they bring together a bunch of organizations and they fight for the people's right to food.
That's correct.
Okay, good. Hopefully we'll be able to pick up Francisco. I talked with him the other day and could get through. Now I can't get through. But, you know, there are issues in talking with people in Venezuela. Just in today's paper, we read where the government arrested the opposition, the wife of the opposition's leader, and threw her in the clink. And her husband's already in the clink. So everybody's pretty much in the clink if you disagree with the government, so maybe that had a chilling effect on those phone lines today. Who knows? But we are working on it, and we'll see if we can get through to Francisco Valencia, who is the president of Codavida in Venezuela. And so until then, it's you and I and everybody here in the studio. So let's talk about what conditions we do hear about in Venezuela. How about you, Sarah? Do you ever read accounts of what's going on down there, or is it?
It's just terrible.
So you see it as well, then. It's not just me then that's seeing these things. Well, what I've been seeing is truly incredible. It's a full-scale collapse of a major American economy, South American economy. Today's news, of course, very chilling on having anybody be able to speak out about exactly what's going on down there. But let's start with the country itself, Venezuela. It used to be called the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, which, of course, is a tribute to Simon Bolivar, who did much for the liberation of South America from Spanish and Portuguese rule and is responsible for the establishment of republics in those nations. The interesting thing about Venezuela, of course, is that it is the richest country in the world in terms of, well, look at that. We have liftoff.
Great.
Are you there, Francisco?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry for the delay.
Boy, so we're so happy to be able to connect with you. Kudos to Jason and Kelsey for pulling that one off. Welcome aboard. So happy to have you. Let's start off, first of all, is it true, Francisco, what we up here have been hearing about the state of the Venezuelan economy?
Yes. Right now we're living the worst humanitarian crisis ever. Since the last 40 years, we haven't seen something like this. We have a shortage of medicines, around 90% of shortage.
90% shortage
of medicines, yes.
90% shortage?
Yes, sir. And we have people with chronic disease like cancer patients, transplant patients, dialysis patients that haven't received their treatment or medicine since 4 months ago. And the breast cancer women here haven't received their treatment since a year ago. So people are dying because of the lack of medicine in Venezuela. And that's why we have called and have issued a warning to the United Nations that Venezuela is living the worst humanitarian crisis. And for that, you have to add the crisis we have with food, too. We have children who's dying with malnutrition, babies, because they are receiving the proper food and vitamins.
And at one time, did not Venezuela grow most of its food, own food?
Yeah, you're right. And we have the production before Chavez, Hugo Chavez. Venezuela was a productive country. We have our own rice, and we produce our own medicine, inclusive. And they have destroyed all of that. And now we depend on the import 100% because the economy is so low, so bad, that even the farmers are now doing what they do every year.
Well, how can you be speaking up as you are speaking up, Francisco? It seems like you're one very brave person. Where are you? Are you in Venezuela?
Yes, we are in Venezuela. We are a non-governmental organization, Code Vida, which is the Coalition for the Right of Health and Life. And we have to be here because we have to tell the world what's going on in Venezuela. We doing a report every month, and we have to send it to United Nations and to all, this problem is good for us because it allows us to tell the people what's going on in Venezuela. Right now, Code Vida has a small program, humanitarian program. The people from around the world are sending medicine, and we in Code Vida distribute that medicine free for those who need it. But it's not enough. It's not enough because the crisis is so deep. It's not only medicine. You don't have proper equipment in the hospitals. You don't have we have like 300 hospitals in Venezuela, the biggest one. And what we see there is people on a waiting list for 3 months so they can have a surgery because there's not operating rooms available, or we don't have water. The main hospital right now this week in Caracas has a one week without water. So how can you have a hospital without water? So can you see the big problem we have right now?
Francisco, I just found this from CNN News this morning. Dr. Urbina Medina, who is the head of a pediatrics at a children's hospital in Caracas, said, and I quote, "Even at the hospital, there is still no food for the patients. We still don't have medicines, x-rays, CT scans, nothing." that bad.
That's right. That's right. I know Dr. Vina. He's... Metro
Farm. Are you there? Well, it looks like we've lost him. But maybe we'll pick it up because we're going to be taking a quick break anyway. So it's a good time to lose that.
It's a good time. Let's go get him back.
What do you think, girls?
I mean, just by all the accounts that I'm hearing, it's terrible.
Please absolutely enter the number you wish to call.
Oh, that's, there it is.
There's my key. I'll be back.
All right, folks. We're looking into Venezuela. Eyewitness account to Venezuela. Is what we hear happening down there really happening? Sounds like it is. From Francisco Valenzuela, who is the president of Coda Vida in Venezuela. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
The original Stagnaro family has been in business since 1879.
You can dream it, build it, own it, Metro Farm it. You can sow it, feed it, grow it, Metro Farm it. Ah, you can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it, Metro Farm it.
Learn how to dream it, build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it. Metro Farm it. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it, earn it, own it. Metro Farm it.
Oh, learn it, do it, earn it. Metro Farm it. Dream it, build it, own it. It's easy, you can do it. Metro Farm it.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy, you can do it. Metro Farm it.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, I'll tell you what's eating what. The telephone lines are eating us up. That's what's connected with Francisco Valencia, who is the president of Coda Vida down there in Caracas, Venezuela. We're asking him, is what we hear happening in Venezuela actually happening? And yes, it is, according to him. We did lose the line, but we are trying to get it back, and if we can, we'll bring him right up. But in the interim, talk a little bit about, in the break, producer Sarah Bell Lynn says, why did you pick this story up? Good question. I watch food stories, and maybe 3 years ago, I started seeing these strange stories out of Venezuela. People going hungry. Why would people go hungry in a country so incredibly wealthy and so incredibly productive in growing its own food? What happened to that country? What is happening to that country? And, you know, if you just think about the state of Venezuela and the amount of money that it's sitting on top of, largest proven oil reserves in the world. Let's go back then, and as we wait for Francisco to come through the magic of those lines, let's go back to the 1990s. When Venezuela was probably one of the strongest countries in South America, Central America, it had a tremendous amount of money. It grew its own food. It was a prosperous country, and it was very influential. But what happened there, as it tends to happen elsewhere, is that the money became concentrated in the hands of a few. And the many went without a lot of money, very poor. So there were the very rich and the very poor. And a man stood up and said, this has to change. His name was Hugo Chavez. So people elected him president of Venezuela. And Hugo Chavez turned Venezuela away from its relationship with the United States, and it aligned itself with China and Russia and Cuba. And so in doing so, it turned away from being a capitalist country to being a socialist country. And so to fulfill his promises to the people who elected him, which essentially were not the rich people, it was the poor people. So what did he do? First thing he did, of course, was to appropriate oil companies. Took them all over. They are no longer international companies. They're now Venezuela companies. It's our country, it's our oil, and it's our money. So he took all the oil companies back. Next thing he did, confiscated farmlands to give back to the people for farms. Third thing he did was he borrowed billions and billions and billions of dollars from China and Russia to build fancy projects and buy food for his people. And so what you had then was an economy that flowed all through that central government, and it was largely oil money, and it was borrowed money. And so what happened in that milieu was that people quit growing food. Why bother growing food when the government is buying it for you? And you only have to pay them a fraction of what it costs for the government to buy it. So that's a subsidized food. So people just quit buying food or growing food. And people then became reliant on those foods from the government. So the next thing that happened was that the principal and the interest on the debt ballooned and kept growing and growing and growing as the government kept borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. And finally, of course, the price of oil collapsed. What did cost $100 now cost $50. And there it went. So there you are. You have a country that has become totally reliant on borrowing money and on high oil prices, and all of a sudden the people who lend you money start asking for their money back. And Venezuela right now has a choice. It can pay the bondholders, China and Russia. It can pay them back the money that it borrowed, or the interest on the money that it borrowed, or it can buy food for its people. Now, which do you suspect Venezuela has elected to do? From what we hear from Francisco Valencia at Cota Vida in Caracas, Venezuela, what the government has decided to do was to pay its bondholders back as best as it could. Now, it doesn't have enough money to do that. Right now, from what I read in the paper, the U.S. government expects that Russia will step in and pay for Venezuela's pay, at least part of its debt. In return for what? Now, the interesting thing about Simon Bolivar was that he brought independence and the independence to these nations of South America. And now what the current government of Venezuela is doing is going to Russia and selling itself to Russia and to China in exchange for paying off those debts. As a matter of fact, just today we read where the president of Venezuela is in Turkey, where he struck a deal with Erdogan to open up the first Muslim mosque in Central America. Not even Cuba would allow it, but Venezuela is in such a fix that it's selling itself to everybody. And so it's an incredible irony if you think of the efforts of Simon Bolivar to bring independence to this nation and to have that nation now in a position where it has to sell itself, sell its independence, sell its sovereignty to other nations. And so, as we look to get Francisco back via the phone, may or may not be possible, I'd like to ask all of you folks out there, is is what happened, or can what happened to Venezuela happen to us here? What do you think? Where the phone numbers today are 831-479-1080. Can what happened to Venezuela's economy happen to the USA's economy? Is the U.S. a nation of the very rich and the very poor, or does it still have a robust middle class? What do you think? That's what happened to Venezuela, you know. How does the notion of giving everyone a guaranteed income, as put forth by the very rich, like Mark Zuckerberg, differ from what Hugo Chavez promised his citizens in Venezuela? Does the U.S. have a thriving agriculture, or has this agriculture become concentrated in the hands of a very few? And finally, can the U.S. sustain its ever-increasing debt load, or will it, too, have to choose between feeding its hungry and paying its bondholders? So, what do you think? Can what happened to Venezuela happen to us here? Or are we too smart? Or too strong? What do you think? 831-479-1080. It's Venezuela's the richest nation in the world in terms of oil, more than Saudi Arabia. Rich farmland, capable of feeding 75% of its people. And now it's broke. It can't feed itself. Its people are eating animals out of the zoo. Its sick are using the drugs of animals to treat themselves, if they can find that. They're starving. It's a humanitarian crisis. So says the Venezuelans themselves, at least Francisco Valencia, who is the president of Coda Vida in Venezuela. What do you think? 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and tell us what you think. Can what happened to Venezuela happen to the USA right now?
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Hey, we're back, folks. This is the Food Chain radio program. Today we're talking about Venezuela. What happened down there? Did what we hear happening actually happen, or is it all make-believe? Well, Francisco Valencia of Coda Vida says it is happening. We were talking to him earlier, lost a call. Kelsey McCann, what happened to that call?
Well, it's been an interesting morning, one of those where nothing quite works out very well, which is such a... We did get him on, and it's pretty normal with radio, though. There's always something that just doesn't quite work out, such as the nature of the beast. But I spent a good 10 minutes in there trying to get him back and was met with the same message. Something government came on the phone. So whatever the inhibitor was, it's something to do with the government. And if that doesn't say it all, we've got Maduro arresting opposition leaders, and we've got phone calls that don't go through.
There you go. That's the situation.
It's the situation. And I think what's so fascinating about just the short bit of time that we did get to spend with Francisco this morning is that you could actually hear the extent to which this is happening. Like, you could hear it in his voice. You could feel the stress and the anxiety and the sadness in his description. And that, to me, says, I mean, it says so much about the state of things. And it's terrifying.
And can you imagine the courage it takes to stand up and say that it's happening in a regime that's arresting everybody?
Everybody. Yeah. The opposition. If you're the opposition, you're on a list.
So, Sarabel, he said that that Venezuela is importing 100% of its food.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah.
And we read here where year to year, the amount of food that Venezuela is importing from its neighbors is declining 61%. So if a country is buying 100% of its food, and the amount of food it's buying is declining 61% a year, it must be pretty ugly. Well, you know, we have a phone call from New York. Kelly is on the line from New York. Welcome, Kelly.
Yes. Hello, it's Kelly Bayer. Hello.
Well, hello, Carrie.
Hello, Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Kelly's one of our producers. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I don't have... Actually, it's kind of weird because I've been listening, and when I called in, it was on a commercial break on the live broadcast, so I don't know what you guys have been talking about. Kind of missed things, but my only input is that it seems like Venezuelans must really not have that much like independent food production, because if they can produce their own food, then they wouldn't really be so fragile.
Well, that
whatever else is going on.
You know, that is the rub here, because Venezuela is very rich. It has more proven oil reserves than any other country in the world, Saudi Arabia. It had the beautiful farmland. It was able to produce 75% of its own food. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
You can't eat oil. You can't eat oil. So, you know.
Well, you know,
maybe
what?
Maybe they just put all their eggs in that basket. I don't know.
Well, what happened is what has happened elsewhere to almost exactly the same effect. When the country became socialist and the government took over the farmland and redistributed that farmland to people who really didn't know how to farm, but they were, you know, the poor people, and here's free land, farm. But then the government started giving away free food or vastly subsidized food. Thus, why would you want to farm? Why would you want to toil in the sun and grow plants and animals to feed people if the government is just buying the food for you from some other
place? Would that be kind of like food stamps here?
Oh. That raises
an interesting point. And it's so valid, because I believe there was an initiative in Maine where they pitched a new deal on food stamps, whereby if you were to collect your food stamps, you were required to do a certain number of community service hours. And the reduction in those who picked up food stamps was massive. I'm going to have to find the study, because the numbers say quite a bit.
Yeah, I've seen that
That's
in a
really
number of states. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what happened with Venezuela apparently is that they were able to, you know, they had this oil revenue, they had money coming in hand over fist, $100 a barrel oil. They were able, because they had that money coming in, they were able to borrow billions and billions and billions from other countries. Then they were able to institute massive public works campaigns, you know, build bridges and highways and whatnot, and they were able to take massive. The government became corrupt because it was handing out all this money. It took all of these bribes, and there you are. You have the seeds of this incredible disaster. But wait a minute.
Yeah.
You brought up an interesting thing, and of course, the ultimate question here is: can what happened to Venezuela happen to us? Do we have the same conditions in Venezuela that exist that cause this? You know, in the first place, are we a nation of the very rich and very poor, or do we still have a very strong middle class? Well,
the numbers are sure changing quickly, aren't they?
Okay. Sarah?
I believe we still have a pretty large middle class in this country.
Okay. Kelly?
Well, I'd say comparatively, right? But over the last few years, those numbers are really changing.
Kelly?
I would say that we have a pretty strong middle class population.
Okay.
And like maybe the level of poverty would be, I don't know, like how you would compare between the two countries.
There you go. Well, I could think of a few places you'd look around this town and you'd think maybe not so much so. But I think we do still have a relatively speaking, strong middle class. And I think the middle class is what holds this country together.
The structure. The foundation.
The middle class is what holds things together. Without it, we're pretty much toast. So that's the question. Yeah, go ahead.
So I have this friend from Venezuela, and she would like come to the U.S. for a few months a year and teach swim lessons in Florida, and then she would, like, sit pretty. She would go back to Venezuela and sit pretty for a long time. And she talked about how the currency was so, like, unstable in Venezuela. And that always confused me. And she also mentioned something about, like, you couldn't buy toilet paper. Like, what is going on there?
Well, here's the difference. In the year in the year 2010, $1 would buy 8 bolivars. In the year 2017, $1 will buy 8,000 bolivars.
That's nuts. And that is within how many years? What was the first year you said?
That was 7 years. Folks, we're going to have to take a quick break, but when you come back, we'll go back to the phones. We have Kelly, we have Kelsey, we have Sarabel, we have you, 831-479-1080. Joe's up next. Stay tuned.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, President Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela came up with a very clever plan to fight hunger. Everybody grow rabbits and eat them. Kelly Bear, what do you think about that notion?
I think that's great. I was just reading this book about, it was like an older small-scale farming book, and it was talking about how rabbit husbandry was something that's it's more popular in France, but it's like never taken off on an industrial scale, but it's a very sustainable meat.
You know, when I was in the Navy, we used to eat rabbit. We'd get the rabbit when we were in the South Pacific. It was a rare and delicate.
Well, rabbit's delicious. I mean, it tastes good. I also had a pet bunny, and that is apparently what he wants everyone to do. Maduro would like his population to stop loving their rabbits and eat them instead because they're tasty
morsels.
You can
love them and eat them. You can love
them and
eat them.
Love them and then eat them in that order, though, naturally.
Unless you're in the 4-H. Yes.
Well, I mean,
there you go. Let's go to Joe. Joe, what do you think? Do you think what is happening in Venezuela can happen here?
Isn't it happening in California right now?
How so, Joe?
How so, Joe?
Well, we've got the condor, Jerry Brown, and he's trying to do all these infrastructure things which are not well thought out, and they're going to cost exponentially more than what they were first proposed.
You know,
plus there's all these, there's all these giveaways as well. Just giveaway. And when you do that, why work when you get subsidized housing? They call it low income. What is the incentive to work?
So, you know what you said about Jerry Brown's public works projects, and most specifically we think of the train, the infamous train to nowhere, which is pretty much exactly what Chavez and Maduro have been doing in Venezuela. They've been borrowing billions and billions for these infrastructure projects, and which of course creates the perfect graft for government. You can buy off give the bureaucrat a few million dollars to get a few trillion dollar contract, and away you go. And so, do you see any real big difference between Venezuela and the United States, Joe?
I don't know all the details of it, but again, when you give away, when you have low-income housing, which is subsidized housing, when everything is based on low income and you give it to them, what does that do? It incentivizes people to not work, to claim to be disabled. I've been told that myself. Hey, Joe, you got a disability. Just, come on, get the housing. I got a little bit of pride. And you know what? You just know that at some point the music is going to stop. And when it stops, that's when it gets scary.
Well, do you think the music can stop here in the United States as it has stopped in Venezuela?
I know California. I'm born and raised here, Central Valley. It's so different now than when I was a kid. Hey, that's what my focus is on our once great state.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the call, Joe. That wasn't very fun.
Well, I think, you know, it's the beauty of talk radio right there. We're not all super jazzed about situations, and this is one situation that I don't think anybody's particularly thrilled about. I think the one thing that I find most fascinating about this story is watching the evolution of the government in Venezuela, watching the you know, the political leadership become more and more powerful, and that's, you know, that's something that greatly affects what people can do, what they can grow, what they can consume,
what they can say on the telephone.
And that, I think, is one of the things that, that we should really be looking at, because it's sure not working out well, and it hasn't in the past.
Do you think...
I'd love to get other newspapers.
Say again, Kelly?
I'd love to get a newspaper from Venezuela to see what they're talking about in their own news.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing, is what they say is what they are allowed to say, essentially, by the government.
What we hear is what we're allowed to hear.
Yeah. And so that was really the question that we were looking to you know, Francisco Valencia for. Is what we're hearing really happening? Is it true? And I think he not only said it's true, but it's probably worse than what we're even hearing.
Mm. What is this eating you animal thing?
And hospitals without water?
Hospitals without water, and, I mean, without a potable water source, you can't even grow food. I don't know how Maduro expects people to raise these bunnies without water, because they need the water too. Everyone needs it.
The interesting thing that he talked about, of course, in giving farmland to people who were not farmers, and then giving them free food, of course they did not farm. But the interesting thing is that it is happening to the oil infrastructure of Venezuela as well, which is how they make money. By giving guaranteed jobs to the state-owned oil company, why do
too much work if it looks like Russia might help you with the rest of it?
There you go. Well, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, we're talking about the hunger in Venezuela, people eating animals out of the zoo, children starving in a hospital with no food or water.
Pregnant women losing their babies.
Pregnant women losing their babies. Can it happen here? Are the conditions that led to the collapse of Venezuela, can they be seen here? 831-479-1080.
Here's a little secret I'm telling you. Take a little pledge called the 2x2. Spend $2 on local food each day and get two friends to do the same and play. Oh, they'll spend their money, and when they're through, they'll get two friends and do it too.
We can eat our way to economic security and personal freedom. It won't cost an extra dime, and it will be so easy, it will make you blush. All it takes is two numbers. One is two, the other is 2-2. Join us. Take the 2x2 pledge.
There's a little secret I shared with you, a simple pledge called the 2x2. You can do it. It don't cost much. It's so easy, it'll make you blush. Pledge two local bucks each day. Get two others to pledge and play.
Take your 2x2 pledge at metrofarm.com.
2x2. So much to say, so little time to say it. On the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, we got him. Holy smokes. Francisco's back. Francisco, I don't know what happened to our connection, but it's so good to have you back.
I don't know what was the last thing I said.
Well, you pretty much told, we asked you if what was happening, if we hear what was happening in Venezuela is happening, and you certainly affirmed that case. What now? What are you going to do? How are you going to survive?
Well, that's a good question, and that's why we're sending our reports to the United Nations, because we think that the only way that people can save the people that need medicines and medical attention and the children who need food is with humanitarian aid. There is no other way that the government will solve this problem, because the government, we are in the presence of a corrupt government, and we used to have the oil prices. This is an oil producer country. So maybe people are asking why a country with oil production, the people are the lack of medicines and the food. Well, that's a good question. And we know that's corruption. So, listen, myself, I received a kidney transplant 70 years ago, and I haven't been receiving my proper medications from last 4 months. And without those medications, I can have a kidney rejection. So it's very complicated. I think what we need is people from around the world to visualize what Venezuela is going through, and the people, especially the people, and programs, radio programs, TV programs like yours, is the window we need to inform everybody what the humanitarian conflict we have right now in Venezuela.
Francisco, I just wanted to ask, in terms of a long-term approach, what will help, aside from humanitarian aid, which you so desperately need and we so feel here and want to reach out to you and help you, but in terms of the long-term game, what will fix Venezuela?
The only thing that will fix Venezuela is a change of government.
Wow.
We need to change the present government, and we see that very difficult. And that's the only way. I'm sorry to say it, but if we don't change the government, it's going to be very, very hard to change what it is right now.
Francisco, we note where Maduro is in Russia and in Turkey, and it appears to be that he's selling the sovereignty of Venezuela. What do you think Simon Bolivar would say to that?
Is an ally from Venezuela. Cuba is an ally from Venezuela. But the rest of the world knows that Venezuela has a dictatorship, and the people are dying because of lack of food and medicine. What we need is to pressure the institution like United Nations, so the United Nations can pressure the Maduro's government.
Francisco, we just ran out of time, but what we're going to do is say a lot of prayers for you and keep calling your attention to you, okay? Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in.
Can I give you my Twitter account? So that
yes.
Yes.
Follow up?
Go ahead, quickly.
At Covevida, Covevi.
Gotcha.
VA. Covevida. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Francisco.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.